just a few days ago. In fact, it's one we hear regularly this time of year. And so since it's a scripture that we hear often, I'm going to invite you to try to listen like you haven't heard it before. Maybe listen for a character you didn't pay attention to much in the past, or maybe a line or a phrase that might mean something new. Or just close your eyes and try to visualize the whole thing. But hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now this was the first registration. It was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and laying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. They were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has been made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The story of that Christmas Eve ends there. And it's funny, the shepherds, well, they've been notified and they've done their glorifying and their traveling, and the angels have sung and the stars up in the sky, and it begs the question, now what? Now what? I mean, the scripture just sort of ends there as a, okay, there's a period right at the end of it, a new little paragraph starts on the next page. In fact, if you open your Bible and take a look into that section, it skips forward 8 days to Jesus being circumcised and then skips ahead 2 years to the coming of the Magi, which we'll celebrate next week. But the immediate is not described. This amazing event, Jesus has been born, the family's right here in the manger, and the story just sort of is like, okay, that's how it started. Now what? Now what? You know, I think about my own Christmases that I celebrate with family and friends. You know, all the people and the presents and sometimes breakfast and maybe some music on in the background. And we open all the gifts and then there's this moment. Okay, now what? It happens there as well, it seems. After the gifts are open, what then? You know, it's that same sort of thing in the very first Christmas. Jesus, the light of the world, arrives in the manger. We've got the gift. Now what do we do? You know, I've already seen Christmas trees next to dumpsters in the alley. I've already seen return lines at the store, people clinging to their gift receipts. I want full value for what they bought me so I can get something else. People are already talking about how glad they are that Christmas is over. Here's the thing. We're only halfway into Christmas. We're only halfway. Despite retailers using the 12 days of Christmas throughout the middle of the month to stir up sales, yes, it's the 12 bargains of Christmas. Come on in today. The real 12 days of Christmas, as Brandon mentioned, begin on Christmas. Folks, this is why I'm such a big proponent of Advent. This is why I don't want to give Christmas away too early, because I want it to be enjoyed once it gets here. When you start Christmas on October 31st, no wonder people are throwing their trees away on the 26th. Christmas has just arrived. This is our chance to enjoy Christmas for all that it is and all that it can be. So happy sixth day of Christmas. You see, Christmas wasn't intended to be some sort of terminal event. It happened, it's done, we're going to put it away now. You know, the story that we hear in Luke, the arrival of Jesus wasn't something that was an ending. It was the beginning of something. Today I want us to be reminded that Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving, not something we open and say, well, that's nice, and are done with. And so I want to talk a little bit about Christmas today and the gift of Jesus by sharing a few present stories. I remember being a kid, there was a lot of emphasis in my family on sharing. Sharing is an important thing. The kids are down in Sunday school, but Brandon tells them this all the time. Sharing is important. And, you know, there was things we had toys, we had things in the house, and we would share them. But there was this sort of understood exception to that rule on Christmas morning. Because when you'd just gotten a brand new toy, you didn't want to share it. I mean, it was brand new. We can share it when it's not brand new. But whenever I opened something up, I had the expectation that it was going to be mine for a little while. And this was just sort of the unspoken way that life went. Until one year, I had a gift that challenged that. It had been something I'd been looking forward to and wanting. I opened up that wrapping paper, and there was a brand new walkie-talkie set. Oh, it was really cool. It lit up, and it had the dials and the turn knobs and the breaker and the little beeping button and all that stuff right there. But you know the thing about a walkie-talkie? It does take two, Sheldon. That rule of it's mine, I don't want to share it, suddenly became very awkward as my sister was busy doing her things, and I was like, please, please play with my toy. No, I'm busy playing with mine, go away. No, please. The desperate desire to share it so that I could get more out of it. Oh, I learned a lot from that gift. Or I think about the year, I mean, I had been asking for a chemistry set for years, but I never was old enough. Something about blowing my eyebrows off, I don't know. And so I kept saying, I want a chemistry set, I want a chemistry set, I want a chemistry set. They got me the little play school one that had the microscope to look at bugs. And that was nice, but no. I wanted, you know, the mad scientist goggles and the white lab coat and the smoke and the explosions. And there it was under the tree. One year, opened it right up and it was there. And I pulled it out of the box and I was ready to start making chaos when suddenly I heard from my father, you can play with it as soon as you read the instruction manual. Wait, what? Mad scientists don't need instruction manuals. Brad, there's a lot of stuff in there that you don't know what it does. You don't know what will happen if you mix the wrong things. You need to read the instructions. So as soon as you read it, we can do everything that kit does. That chemistry set sat on my shelf for 7 years. If I would have known it was going to make such a great sermon illustration, I wouldn't have thrown it away. But there it sat. I just wanted to get into it and use it and have a good time. What do you mean I need to learn something about it? I just want to use it. Or I think about a few Christmases ago down in Pueblo at my wife's family's gathering. My brother-in-law, I have his permission to share this story. It's marvelous. My brother-in-law, we have the Christkinder thing where all the cousins draw names, so you only have to give one present to one cousin. And one of his cousins was there and said, hey, I'm your Christkinder, here's your present. Now, let me preface this story by saying, much like I'm sure maybe some of your households, we reuse a lot of boxes in our family, right? I mean, this box looks like it'll be a good one to put something in, and so you never quite know when you open a box what you're going to get. And so he unwraps the paper, and he sees it right there, this nice long box, and it says, you know, like, what was it, a camera tripod. And he's like, ooh, a tripod, how exciting. Oh, a tripod, that's exactly what I wanted. And he goes over the top, mocking the box. He opens it up, slides it out, and it's a tripod. He smiles, says thank you, tries to pretend the previous excitement wasn't mockery. And as we get into the car leaving Pueblo, he's like, what on earth? They got me a tripod. And his dad goes, that's what you asked for. And there was this long pause as he then turned and looked at my father-in-law and said, Dad, I said iPod. iPod, not tripod. Sometimes we really don't know what we're going to get. We really don't. You know, I share with you these stories because they tell me something about Christmas. They tell me a little something about the what now that Jesus has arrived. I think about Jesus arriving into this manger, and I think about what it means to receive God's love, and I think about our tendency to want to enjoy something for ourselves. You know, but much like a set of walkie-talkies, Jesus is something to be shared. God's love is something that you get so much more out of when we can offer it to someone else. Where's that excitement of saying, hey, guess what we just got? Let's use it together. Or I think about that chemistry set. I mean, to be honest, the Son of God, the light of the world, is probably a rather complicated gift. And there's that tendency to just say, oh, this is great, let's enjoy. There is so much more to the gift of Christmas that if we don't take the time to get to know, we'll miss out on. Now, this actually is a Bible plug. There is a book that talks about this gift. There is a book that invites us to get to know Jesus better. And I'm not going to tell you that if you don't read the book, you can't play with Jesus. But I am going to invite you to spend some time getting to know Jesus. That's what we're going to spend the next year doing until he arrives again. We're going to get to know Jesus better so we can get more out of this gift. What an important thing to share in so we can get the most out of what God offers to us. And then there's that box. You know, the tripod that he asked for. There are a lot of things we ask God for. There's a lot of things God offers us. And it may not be what we always expect. But the fun story to this is, when my brother-in-law wrote his Christmas list together this year, the thing he asked my wife for actually was a tripod this year. Three letters, T-R-I. It's amazing. You know, he's in California doing his whole actor thing, and at a certain point he needed a tripod. Oh, if he only hadn't returned it. You know, there is something to realizing that sometimes we receive things we weren't expecting, we didn't think we asked for, but at the same time, maybe there is something there that we might find a place for in our lives. So, Christmas is halfway done. The radio stations are playing the regular music again. The Christmas trees are starting to fill the alley to get recycled. And even next week, we'll take the decorations down after the three wise men come. But the gift of Christmas, is something for each and every day to come. The gift of Christmas is a gift that we'll keep on giving. So Merry Christmas, and Amen.